remember that in the book of Proverbs, it talks about a word spoken fitly in season. The idea is that you speak words or you give somebody a word. I don't mean a word like a prophetic word, but like you communicate verbally, you give people a word. But it says a word spoken fitly in season. So that the idea is that you're supposed to be waiting for the spiritual environment to be open. You're supposed to be making sure that there's an entry point from the Spirit of God to the person you're trying to minister to. So it's got to be a word in season. Let's say somebody's struggling and they're thinking about getting a divorce or divorce their husband or wife or whatever, and you're blabbing away about some, you know, was that baseball game better when we could see the people, when there were real people in the seats? Or was it just as exciting watching the baseball game, you know, with the, just like the laugh tracks, the fake laughter that they play when you're watching these sitcoms? So they have now, they have baseball tracks, obviously. I don't know how they did it. They either took audio footage from many baseball games and mixed it together to create a synthetic sound of a baseball stadium with the fans and the cheering and stuff. Or they did it entirely digitally. They did it entirely electronically, which is more likely the case. Okay, so if you're all hyped up on that, you're tuned out from the pain and the crisis that the other person is in. And what happens is that's where you should be giving a word spoken fitly in season. In other words, you're supposed to be sensitive to the season, the spiritual environment that you're in with yourself or whoever. And the idea is that God wants to use you, it doesn't have to be in some mystical way. You know, giving somebody a word from the Lord doesn't have to be, "Thus saith the Lord." You know what I'm saying? You don't need a megaphone. You just tell the person, and you use wisdom. And then the words that you're speaking are ministering to them. And you don't go on the nose on it. In other words, you don't announce to the person, "Hello, I'm giving you a word from the Lord to help you with your secret sin problem." You know what I'm saying? That's like stupidity on steroids. You speak a word in season when somebody's soul is open, and you don't need to announce it. It's like, "Hello, the Lord, you know, had me meet you today, and I'm here to tell you, the word for the Lord is, you know, move to Kansas as fast as you can." You know, you're missing the mark. You're not being the obedient, faithful servant. So the idea is that when we speak, it's a word that has surgical precision to heal somebody. Okay. It's very important that we're available to do that. Now, we got a lot of people running around using their mouths, social media, and everything else. We have a huge problem here. We have a lot of people who have anointed themselves as prophets. We have a lot of people who are pretending to be prophets, claiming to be prophets. They're anointing, they're self-anointed prophets. No, look, I'm not saying everybody who deals with Bible prophecy. I'm not saying anyone who has a prophetic word or whatever. I'm not making an accusatory, dismissive statement against the validity of those spiritual gifts functioning according to the Word of God. All right? The problem is you have a lot of people who were not called. You can't really communicate anything unless you, quote, have spiritual discernment that can only come about by the Holy Spirit inside you, and a walk with God that demonstrates a maturity that comes over time and studying His Word and walking with God. So back to the thing, whether you're dealing, somebody you know is dealing with things like, well, what, you know, my job is closed. Like, you know, I'm on furlough. I'm looking at my unemployment's running out. Money, finances, job, career, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that brings you into a place, just like the Christians I was describing, who had had enough of, you know, the California riots, you know, and the place falling apart and stuff, and Californians began to exodus into to different places, okay, like Colorado, Oregon. Now, the key here is you apply the biblical rule, okay? You just don't take your human mind, read, you know, all these articles, point your finger on a map and say, okay, you know, or allow yourself to go bankrupt when the Lord didn't want you to go bankrupt. The Lord was giving you an opportunity. The Lord was giving you wisdom to be proactive so you avoided the bankruptcy. Understand what I'm saying? Okay. So the key here is that you are, yes, gain the knowledge, data, and facts, differing opinions, et cetera, regarding this employment, job, whatever, financial situation. But then you seek the Lord. See, in America, because we've always, America is like a spoiled child. God has a prophetic plan for America, but we are like spoiled children. And we have this sense of, before the Lord that, you know, the Lord has cushioned us from a lot of pain and suffering. We never thank Him. We take it for granted. But now, the Lord, because of our rebellion in America towards God, the Lord seems to be lifting His protective hand of covering off our nation to a degree. What degree? I can't tell you exactly. He's not finished. Look, if He was finished with America, you wouldn't be listening to me talk now. All right, so let's get over that. God's finished with America. No, God is not finished with America. You want your proof, your reality, your check, your proof is God couldn't possibly be finished with America if we're all still here in America talking about the Lord, talking about contending for the land, talking about prayer, talking about the biblical God. That's shining light, okay? If God was finished with America, He would have totally given us over to this Marxist, satanic, totalitarian state that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation and other places, the return of mystery Babylon. And by the way, you need to know, I need to know, how to integrate what Bible prophecy says to people we know. We need to educate them. We need to help people interpret current events, etc., through the lens of Bible prophecy. It's very important to do that. It's like turning the lights on before you go walk in a long, dark room. Now, the critical thing here is communicating what the Word of God says. So, for example, it's an historical, socioeconomic fact, historical fact. Facts in all kinds of ways that for the last 100 years or more, well, actually since ancient Babylon, but in the last 100 years approximately, the human race has run helter-skelter into this, the globalist elite have captured our planet, and they're driving us into their satanic one world government, one world religion, one world economic system, which, by the way, as you know, is designed entirely for their benefit. So that's where they're hurting us. And so they use these, let's call it planetary theaters. I don't know if you've ever seen a play. Most of you, I assume, have seen a play or participated in a play in school or something. So you know what a play is all about. You've got a director, you got actors, singers, musicians, or whatever. And you map out what you want to do and where you want to go. And then, you know, there's a lot of coordination, there's a lot of rehearsals, there's a lot of time commitment. It's hard work. These things are hard work. Even if you're just taking your kid to a school play and you had to participate as a parent or whatever, that's a lot of work. So the key here is that we know that God is not finished with America because, one, God has a prophetic plan for America. But you see, to know that, you have to know the Bible and you have to know something about history, the history of our nation, and the history of Christianity and the history of the Bible, and how that was a fundamental component in the formation of early America, which makes America unique and different as a nation. So right now, because America, because of whatever America's imperfections are, in the church, outside of the church, there is still a light coming from America. The light of the gospel is still coming from America more than any other nation. More money is coming from America to preach the gospel than any other nation. It's God's number one desire above all things to save souls, because he wants countless trillions of people, and it will not be crowded in heaven. That word will not even be, you won't even need to know what the word means, because there will be no crowded places in heaven, except if you want to be part of the crowd. So the key here is that because America is speaking, however imperfectly, the gospel of Jesus Christ, speaking what the Bible has to say, speaking on behalf of the Lord, that is God's prophetic destiny for America. Okay? And if you read history, books that know how to integrate the Bible, Christianity, and history, you'll understand it. So, you know, in my most recent book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, I explain in a fast-moving, entertaining, non-boring way the roots, the real roots of America, which you never hear about in the indoctrination centers or the mind control factories of education. See, as you know, our founding fathers were committed, born-again Christians, pilgrims and Puritans. And it was their commitment to Jesus Christ, it was their deep understanding of the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was their, the fact that they were in revival, that this nation was set apart in a covenant to be used by God to proclaim the gospel to all the nations of the world. Now, that doesn't guarantee America immunity from judgment after sin and all kinds of stuff, because the length or the extent of the opportunity to fulfill your prophetic destiny is entirely up to the Lord. So, there are powerful demonic satanic forces working through a hierarchy of human, fallen angel, evil spirit, spiritual warfare, conflicts of an enormous scale over America, over the world right now. And you have this planetary battle, which involves another kind of theater or play or theatrical production. And that would be the global theatrical production of the coronavirus, the race riots, the protests, and the economic crisis, and how these forces synergistically combined to serve as an assault on America. Now, why would anybody want to assault America? Because, again, however imperfect, America is the only nation left, I'm not saying the only person left, but the only nation left on planet Earth where there is a critical mass of born-again Christians, a critical mass of money and resources, a critical mass of a Constitution, Bill of Rights, protecting religious liberty. America is the only nation left that has enough of these components to be used as a foundation and platform for preaching the gospel and bringing in the last day's soul harvest. So the devil, of course, wants to shut this down, just like he wants to shut you down or me down if we function as a voice for God. So the globalist elite, the media they own, they're in the process of attempting to destroy America as a prosperous, independent, sovereign nation state. Under the Trojan horse of globalism, they want to destroy America because they, the globalist elite, they are pathologically committed to a totalitarian state, a global totalitarian state. The disguise is, the mask they wear is fake compassion, fake love, fake concern for their fellow man. And so they are behind the financing, the creation, and the engineering of what could be described as these planetary theatrical events where you see things happen in politics and culture, in the world and society. You know, bombs going off, disease epidemics, terrorist attacks, mass shootings. Are all of these things spontaneous, or are all of these things, would they come under the umbrella of black ops, you know, black operations? Because there seems to be an acceleration and concerted force and an intensification of the attack against us because there are events that are transpiring that will determine which direction or what kind of future America has. One where God's prophetic destiny for America can be released, or a Marxist totalitarian dictatorship, you know, called America. Or they probably got the name America. And we're right here. We're at the most intense time of the spiritual battle ever since the beginning of our nation. And every week it gets more intense. That's an accurate appraisal of what's really going on all around us. But God has given us, his people, because we're the supernatural body of Christ on earth, if we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, Christ has given us the spiritual biblical mandate to occupy the land until he comes. Christ has told us to make disciples of all nations. Christ has commanded us to go into all the nations and preach the gospel, and other things that the Lord has ordered us to do. And so at this critical time, the future that you live in, the future that your children live in, your grandchildren live in, the future that I live in, you live in, that future will be shaped, colored, determined, and drawn by whoever emerges from this most intense spiritual war victorious. For example, if Christians will repent to the Lord, seek the Lord, pray, get involved as a good citizen, pray, become a spiritual prayer warrior, stand up for righteousness, be part of the solution, not the problem. If each Christian would answer the call of God to do just that, we could turn America around right now while we still have a chance. But if certain events transpire and become our future, the opportunity to transform America will no longer exist. And this is where, you know, it's the watchman's job to see the enemy coming from the distance, and it's the watchman's job to blow the shofar or blow the trumpet and wake up the children of Israel, rouse up the children of Israel to the fact that an enemy is coming upon them soon whose goal is to slaughter them. And it's God's expectation that his people would listen to the warnings of the watchman and they would rouse themselves in time, prepare themselves in time to be proactive, and they are victorious over their enemy before their enemy sneaks in and destroys them. We're at that moment right now. We're at that second right now. And so, if you determine in your heart and mind that it is possible to win this spiritual war, which implies that you're guarding yourself from false prophets who would say, there's nothing you can do, it's all helpless. Which, by the way, is the classic definition of psyops or psychological operations. The classic goal of psyops is to attack your enemy mentally to such an extent that your enemy is now absolutely convinced that there is absolutely nothing they can do to resist, you know, your military invasion, and that your only hope for saving yourself or your nation is to totally surrender to the invader, you know, and settle for whatever crumbs might be thrown at you. That's the purpose of psyops, is to so demoralize your enemy that they actually give up without a fight. Now, when you translate that military intelligence truth, and by the way, if you want to know about how that kind of thinking and process all works, get a copy of my book, Conquering the Matrix, which deals all about with scientific mind control and propaganda, etc. We have all of the books, by the way, available to you to buy for yourself, to distribute to other people. We have all kinds of bundled discounts of our books and other product at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And remember, we are able to move forward as we remain in partnership with you. So I want to thank those of you that are intercessory prayer warriors. Thank you for your daily prayers. I want to thank those of you that obey the Lord and help us promote our message by sharing links, etc., and signing up to different social media things, because what we find is they're rigged. They're not rigged to everybody. They're rigged to people who are considered a threat to lies. So the thing is that by going to paulmcguire.us, you can read about all this stuff. Help us to continue our ministry and spread our links and let people know what we're trying to say, because the future of America is going to depend upon what God's people are thinking and dreaming and believing in their minds, what they're envisioning. And if they're already defeated in their minds, then the spiritual battle we're in, we're going to lose. Remember Joshua and Caleb. At first, God sent in warriors from the children of Israel to spy the land of Canaan. The first group of spies the Lord sent in looked at everything through the prism of unbelief. And they told the Lord, no, it's impossible. There are giants in the land. They'll kill us. There's no way we can take the land. And God categorized that assessment that they made as an evil report. Then Joshua and Caleb gave God what God called a good report. They went in to spy into the land of Canaan, and they observed that there were giants, but they perceived that the giants perceived them as if they were the giants. And Joshua and Caleb looked at the giants and perceived that the giants were grasshoppers. And so they came back to the Lord and said to the Lord a good report, where they told the Lord, we are well able to take the land. That is God's expectation when he speaks to the sons of, when he speaks to his people today, both men and women. That's his expectation, that you would give him a good report. God did not go through this exhaustive preparation, development, staging, planning of America with the Pilgrims and Puritans, with the role of the Bible, with the American Constitution and Bill of Rights being built on the foundation of the Bible. God did not go through all that complexity, all that investment, all those details, which essentially means that God made America a Christian nation because God has a prophetic plan for America. God did not go through all of that effort to see it all wiped out and all destroyed. That's not the way God's mind works. But God went through all that effort, all that investment, so that he would equip his people, both supernaturally and naturally, with everything they need to occupy the land, everything they need to defeat the spiritual adversary from the land, and everything they can do to triumph over the powers of darkness so God's prophetic destiny may be released. Now, In a couple of seconds, we're going to come back and explain to you how you can instantly understand what's happening in your world all around you, where you can understand it on a level like you've never understood it before. Lucid, clear, and above all, not confusing. Remember, the reason most Christians are walking around like most people who are not believers is because most Christians have surrendered inadvertently, perhaps, to a spirit of confusion. And it's Satan who's the author of confusion, not God. So you see, confusion is a weapon that Lucifer and Satan uses, because as long as the target victims of Satan's confusion are walking around in a bewildered, confused state, as long as they're confused, they're weak, they're vulnerable, they're soft targets, and Satan will triumph over them as long as they stay in confusion. So confusion is a satanic weapon. That's why the servants of Satan throughout history, And the servants of Satan in our contemporary time, those people at the very top of the pyramid, those people who would be considered among the satanic elite, those people, one of their primary tenets of their dark spiritual system is order out of chaos. Order out of chaos, which is also translated as order out of crisis or manufactured crisis. Because when Luciferians are violently moving our world They're enslaving mankind with science fiction-like technological weapons. You know, most Christians don't have a clue because they don't want to have a clue. You have Elon Musk, super billionaire, trillionaire, whatever he is, you know, building these SpaceX rockets and firing them into outer space, invents the Tesla motor car company. You know, the Tesla is like this science fiction futuristic vehicle. And Elon Musk is a super genius and a technological genius and a risk taker. And but because he's biblically ignorant, he opens himself up to things that he normally wouldn't if he ever bothered to read the Bible. So Elon Musk talks a lot about the technology of neural implants coming very, very soon. And essentially a neural implant is just a synonym for a microchip implant in your brain, or a nanochip implant, biochip implant in your brain, or a biochip, nanochip implant, which could also be a neural implant delivered by a vaccine technology. Now, Musk, I don't know if the guy, this is speculation on my part here, so I better not even say it. No, I won't say it. Some of you are smart enough to know what I'm thinking. But let's just put it this way. Elon Musk talks a lot about these, and so do other people in the scientific technological communities, about neurological implants or brain, computer-to-brain wireless technology where there's a chip in the brain and a Wi-Fi signal or some other kind of signal goes to a computer or artificial intelligence or people or whatever. That's here already, by the way. That stuff has already been invented. I've been writing about it for decades. You can read it in my book, The Day the Dollar Died. That technology has been out there and doesn't have to be developed. It is developed. It's the key is mass acceptance of it, and whether, well, let's not say whether. Let's just say, yeah, let's say whether, what, or whatever. Whatever the origin is of the coronavirus and how it was spread or whatever, the coronavirus could potentially be the perfect pretense to force people to get a vaccine, and potentially or hypothetically, that vaccine could be a Trojan horse for being a delivery system of a neural implant or a microchip implant or a nanochip implant. So you think you're protecting yourself or your children from merely a vaccine. And if you're not allowed to know what is in this vaccine, the history of the vaccine and all the rest of it, that vaccine simply could be a carrier for a some kind of nanochip implant, which it's great for creativity. It will enhance your brain. If you merge your brain with supercomputers and artificial intelligence through a wireless chip, if you're looking at it just at an engineering, electronic, scientific level, you have in effect connected your brain to an external hard drive, which contains far more memory and processing power than your biological brain. Now, that's what they think. They think they're supplementing your brains. They think they're enhancing their intelligence. But what they don't understand is that the creation of artificial intelligence provides an optimal doorway for demonic control, fallen angels, and then the most important thing is the Bible itself specifically warns us against a beast system in the last days where the Antichrist and the false prophet unite. The Antichrist becomes the head of the one world government. The false prophet becomes the head of the one world economic system and one world religion, and the mark of the beast technology 666. So the Bible exhaustively warns us about not developing another new world order. The Bible warns us against globalism. The Bible warns us against a Luciferian return of Mystery Babylon. Now, churches that don't teach Bible prophecy and Christians that know nothing about Bible prophecy will not be available, that they don't have the discernment to see what's happening. They can't recognize the signs of the times. They're not prepared for what could potentially happen. They're clueless. God does not want them clueless, because if you're clueless, you're going to go down. You're going to be destroyed. So what is required is you got to basically step up to the plate. Now, this is not about pride or willpower. This is not about, you know, you boasting or me boasting about something we've achieved. When I'm saying step up to the plate with God, I'm saying exercise the faith that God has given you. It's time for you to allow the Lord to grow your faith in His supernatural power and who He really is. Because when you have an understanding in your inner man or inner woman of who you really are in Christ Jesus, after you've repented of your sins to Jesus, after you've asked Jesus to make you born again, and after you have been forgiven of your sins by Christ, and after you're born again, then you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're a new man in Christ, or a new woman in Christ. And you now have a supernatural capacity, because you're filled with the Spirit of God, you now have a spiritual capacity to operate in this present world system in a far more, let's say, victorious and overcoming manner. And so when you see chaos or crisis enter your world, or your world is being negatively impacted by these events, your response should be the response built into you by the Word of God, by solid Bible teaching, by having an active prayer life, by endeavoring to seek the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ every day. That's how you enter, that's how you prepare for anything that's coming. It doesn't mean you don't do practical things, you do. And by the way, talking about moving and the danger of just moving because, you know, your human brain tells you should move. Once again, I want to say that, you know, there are many people who have really sought the Lord, prepared, studied, and God did tell them to move to more rural locations. That's what God led them to do. The point is, they did it. I'm talking about the specific people who sought the Lord, did their homework, and then made that decision. That's fine. The key is that the way to be victorious is, first of all, you got to understand you're in a war, a spiritual war, in the invisible realm. Second of all, you have to understand that you have a responsibility to be who Christ called you to be in peaceful times or in times of spiritual warfare or whatever. So, you do not have to do what everybody else does, which is simply copy their mind patterns of fear and freaking out and negativity, hysteria, paranoia. You don't have to replicate those brain patterns. Jesus, God told us that we're supposed to renew our minds, the Word of God. And we've been told by God that we've been given already the mind of Christ. And the Word speaks to us and tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is not just a series of psychological mechanisms. Fear is also produced by a spirit, a demon, a fallen angel. No, I'm not saying born-again Christians can be possessed. I'm not saying that. But born-again Christians can be externally oppressed. The theological term for being externally demonically possessed is called demonization. I'm not saying that born-again Christians can have demons or be possessed by demons, but absolutely, born-again Christians and others can be demonized, which means oppressed, attacked, by fallen angels, demons, etc., etc. Now, that should be an indisputable theological precept. Why? Because the Apostle Paul would not have told believers these key words: for our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the dark unseen forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Paul is telling us that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, whether you like it or not, you are in a raging spiritual battle in the spiritual world or the invisible realm. And you're not fighting people or human organizations, et cetera, et cetera. They may be involved, but you're ultimately fighting a hierarchy of fallen angels and evil spirits and demons and fallen angels and principalities and powers, et cetera. And so the only way you can defeat those demonic entities is that you use weapons that can take out and destroy the demonic entities, the demons, etc. And God tells us what that is. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So the Bible's telling us that our weapons, you know, are not guns, cannons, bullets, etc. Our most powerful weapons are weapons that are spiritual weapons and have force in the spiritual dimension, such as the Word of God, such as prayer, praise, spiritual warfare, intercessory prayers, forgiveness, and many other spiritual and kingdom dynamics that will ensure victory in whatever spiritual battlefield you find yourself in. And so never in the Bible, never in the Word of God, are God's people called to be passive and retreatist. They're always called to be more than conquerors or conquerors. God's idea is based on his truth. God, you know, God is not looking at his people like people look at each other during their honeymoon phase of their relationship, where they're both looking at each other starry-eyed. You know, scientists say that when you think you're in love or falling in love, when you're in that stargazing phase of a relationship, scientists have measured the brain chemistry that changes inside the human brain when people are in that place they call falling in love. And their brain is being bombarded with natural opioids, endogenous opiates, serotonin, and all kinds of biochemical, acetylcholine, and all kinds of biochemical changes. That has a mental experience that is almost produces a drug-like high. But it's this, it's the alteration of your biochemistry when people say, I'm in love or whatever. And I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that, one, you can't build a relationship on a lifetime of a euphoric high because it ain't going to happen. Number two is you have to be willing to be obedient to the Lord and allow the Lord to renew your mind, because he wants, and that includes there has to be deliverance. You have to oppose the demonic entities, spirit of fear, whatever. When you're involved in spiritual warfare, you have to use spiritual weapons and your authority in Christ to drive out the demonic, to sever the control of the demonic, and to reclaim what the devil is attempting to steal, both on a personal level, both on a level of your children, grandchildren, etc., and the level of our nation, the level of the election. Any believer in Jesus Christ who doesn't firmly pray for this election, starting now, because our nation, we can open a portal to hell or we can open a portal to the blessing of God. That's not a political statement, because I'm not pushing a particular candidate. I'm simply giving you a biblical principle. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And join, sign up to our newsletter, our email intelligence report, Roku channel, many social media channels we're on, and then let other people know about it. And then pray for us and partner with us by spreading the link, spreading the word. And finally, ask the Lord, Lord, do you want me to donate or contribute to Paul McGuire Ministries Paradise Mountain Church? And then wait for the Lord to speak to your heart and whatever God tells you to do. Just the point is that you're obedient to the Lord. And so we thank God for faithfulness on your part and your willingness to obey the Lord. We appreciate it. In all those categories. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. We'll be back in a second. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. So you and I have been called before the foundation of the world by the Lord. Before this world was created, God knew you and me and all true believers. He knew us before the foundation of the world. And so you and I were called to be, before the beginning of time, you and I were called to be in the spiritual battle that we're in. That's the message that I wrote in my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. You and I were called before the beginning of time to be here at this time during the greatest spiritual battle in the history of the world. And part of that greatest spiritual battle in the history of the world is what's happening in America right now at this time because of the significance of America in terms of being a global economic, military, political power, technological power, scientific power. And so America is at the epicenter of both the spiritual and planetary conflicts. But the key thing that you and I need to do is that as long as we walk the Lord, and that means we walk the Spirit-filled life, because it's impossible to win any spiritual battle unless you're completely dependent upon the power of God by faith. It's faith in God that releases the power of God that the Lord has placed in you. And so what enables us to supernaturally overcome, to supernaturally be victorious, to supernaturally occupy not only our own land, that means our lives, our families, the things that we're involved in, but the community, the state, the city, the nation, our prayers, and our willingness to come boldly to the throne of grace releases the power of God on all those areas or jurisdictions, if you want. And so the call of God has never been more intense than it is now. Because if you were to look at this situation purely from a pragmatic, purely from a selfish viewpoint, any sane person would realize that what's happening is not going to benefit me or the things that are important to you or anything else. The whole thing is counterproductive. So no rational or sane person would proceed on a course which is suicidal. So God has given you the power, the enormous power, to exercise his dominion on this planet, planet Earth, until he returns. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And so until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, until the Lord comes at his second coming, the agency that God uses here on earth, the way Jesus moves here on earth during this time period that we're in, the way Jesus moves on this earth is through his people. And his people are the supernatural body of Christ on earth. And Jesus is the head. So in the spiritual conflict, Jesus is using his supernatural body, the remnant church, you and I, to exercise his dominion and his authority on planet Earth, to not just allow, because of apathy and unbelief, to not passively allow the powers of darkness to degrade, destroy, give over death, etc. In other words, the body of Christ is to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough and exercise the authority he's given us in Jesus Christ. And so you enter spiritual warfare, law-abiding, peaceful spiritual warfare, intercessory prayer, where you bind the strong man over the place, the institution, the geographic location. You bind the strong man, which is a higher level demonic spirit, from controlling whatever area. You bind the strong man. You join together with others in binding the strong man. You learn how to pray that prayer. And then God's supernatural power can indeed supernaturally intervene in whatever nation you live in America, in your life, your family's life, your children's life. You should never surrender to this mirage. You should never surrender to this delusion that all is helpless, all is lost. There's no way out. Whether you're doing that in the tiny little pieces of your life or you're doing that on the larger scale, that is incorrect thinking. That is not biblical thinking. That is thinking that's energized from a spirit of fear. That's why you have to renew your mind with the Word of God, so that your mind automatically begins to think along the lines of God's coordinates, God's truth, because there's only one truth. It's God's truth. And so now, more than ever before, there should be the blowing of the shofar, the blowing of the trumpets, and God's people should be rising as a consequence of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit as believers whose lives have been shaped, sculpted, and molded by the Word of God, this is our time. This is our time. And we need to be rejoicing, and we should be postured in faith, and our minds, hearts, and souls should be anchored to the Word of God. And if I could sing, and I can't, I would sing that hymn, you know. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all else is sinking sand. Now, the fires around here have kind of polluted my voice, and I'm not the greatest singer to begin with, but I think you got the message. On Christ the solid rock we stand, all else is sinking sand. And I would add to that that God is faithful. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to dump you. He's not going to just like disappear. But you have to be ready for him. God bless you. This is your brother in Christ, Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.